June the 10th, and we are in Sanhedrin. And I'd like to discuss on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, there is a two dots. And that's the first two dots since the beginning of the parak. We started off in the Mishnah with discussing Elu She'en Lohem Chelek Lohem Haba, Haimer Ein Tchias HaMesem Min HaTorah. That was the first one. There's no Tchias HaMesem Min HaTorah. And then the next one is Haimer Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. And that's the next thing, that's the next discussion on Tzadi Tes. So this is one unit. This is Ein Tchias HaMesem Min HaTorah. And it goes for, what is it, 9 blot? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yeah, 9 blot. For 9 blot. Now I'd like to do is, the challenging thing in Chelek is remembering the flow of how things go. One thing leads from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and things seem very disparate. You get into these tangents and discussions, and they're interesting, but it, in one's mind, it's hard to keep everything straight. So what I'd like to do is go through the main points the Gemara discusses in these 9 blot, and I'd like to show you a common thread and a connection, and in my opinion, at least one pshat in how to bring all this together into one overarching discussion that is being had here in the first 9 blot of Chilak. Now, what I'm going to present to you may carry over for the rest of Chilak as well, but right now, I want to concentrate on these 9 blot. So, the Gemara discusses, and I'd like to put on the board for our, just for the sake of being able to keep it, to follow everything. The first point, as I mentioned in our first shiur on Chelek, the first issue that the Gemara brings up is Mida Keneged Mida. That's the first issue. So the first thing is Mida Keneged Mida. That's the first issue the Gemara talks about. And we discussed then about Mida Keneged Mida. That is Rabbi Aaron talks about how that's the main point you have to teach. You have to teach the children is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates Mida Keneged Mida. Then the Gemara launches into what you would expect it to launch into, which is Minayin L'Tchias HaMeisim Minat Torah. So we have a whole discussion about where's Tchias HaMeisim from, and different proofs that we saw. There were nearly 30 different approaches to either bringing a riot to Tchias HaMeisim or a Svara to Tchias HaMeisim or something along those lines. And that went on for a few blot. There were some tangents, but essentially that was the main thing, was Minayin L'Tchias HaMeisim Minat Torah. That naturally led into the Gemara's question, which is, I made a mistake. There is another two dots, but what I meant to say before is that it's the next piece of the Mishnah. This is all one long piece of the Mishnah. That led into the Gemara's next discussion, which is on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, which is, what about the Mesim Shehechei Yechezkel? Because that should have been the natural raya to Tchias HaMesim. Because there actually was Tchias HaMesim time of Yechezkel. So the Gemara said, we're going like the Mandamur holds it was just a mashal. But of course, there are many Mandamur holds it was real. And so therefore the Gemara discusses the Mesim Shehechei Yechezkel. Who were they? Why was he doing it, etc.? Now the Mesim Shehechei Yechezkel happened at the same time as the Mesim of Hanani, Mishael, Nazari and the Kivshan HaEsh. And so the Gemara then moves into Nemucha Netzar and Hanani, Mishael, Azariah and the Kivshan HaEsh, because it was the same time. It happened at the same time. We talked about this, about what the relationship is between those two Maisim. So the Gemara discusses that, discussing Daniel tangentially, but mainly the Mais of the Kivshan HaEsh. Once we bring up the Mais of the Kivshan HaEsh of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, then the Gemara goes into the Kivshan HaEsh of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, which, by the way, we read in Haftarah only a few weeks ago, Parshas Baal Yischa. So that moved into the discussion of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and the comparison with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So if we put it down now, so we have the Mesim Shehechei Yechezkel. Oh, sorry, you're right. That's first. You're right. Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah is right. That's right. Sorry. So let's put down Tchias HaMeisim Minayin, and then we have Mesim Shehechei Yechezkel. Which led into Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah.
And then finally, at least so far, was Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. So there's our first five topics in Chelek. Then moving on, that's through Tzadik Gemara Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara moves into the Sheish Se'orim that Boaz gave to Rus. So why does the Gemara move into the Sheish HaSe'orim? Because the Gemara says that Boaz was being meramis to Rus that she would have six descendants who would all be Nisbarech with six brachas. Three of them are Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. So that's why this is brought in next. The other three are David HaMelech, Daniel, and Mashiach. So that's the next discussion of the Gemara. And then the Gemara has to go through each one of those six, going through where do you find they were Nisbarech with these six brachas. So that's the next discussion, which again, it's a segue because you have Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, so we're sticking with Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. The Gemara then moves into a deeper discussion of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah and Daniel, because he was with them. So you move into the union of the four of them, and then really the Gemara focuses more on Daniel than the other ones as it moves along over here. And actually criticizes Nehemiah for being critical of Daniel. Okay, so that's the balance of Tzadik Gimel. Next, so that's fine. So we're still within the same realm. What's next? So we're on Sadi Dalid. So on Sadi Dalid, the Gemara then says on the pasuk of Lamarbe Hamisra that the mem is sasum. That the mem, even though it's in the middle of the word, is closed. It's an end mem. It's a mem sophis, but it's in the middle of the word. So the Gemara asks, why is it like that? Because the Gemara says, because the Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancherev Goig Umagoig, but he didn't say Shira, so he didn't become Mashiach. Now, how does the Gemara get to that? Why is that here? How does the Gemara move into from Hanani Mishael Azariah and then move into this?
With
what's that?
Have to do with Sancherev?
We didn't bring up Sancherev yet. Right? Right, I'm sorry. I want to get clear here the transition from one thing to another before I tell you the what I think is the common thread. I think Rat is Rashi. So somebody said over here says. So I'm going to tell you what I think the thread is, but I think there's just a push-up shot how you go from one thing to the other.
It's the muzzle.
What's that?
Before that is the muzzle.
No, you know what? I think it's because it's Darash Ba'Kafar B'Tzipuri. Did we have that before? I think that's what it is. I think it's the same. I think it's just Darash Ba'Kafar B'Tzipuri.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right? We had that before, Darash Ba'Kafar B'Tzipuri?
Yes. At least once in the
case.
Yeah, but we didn't have Sancherev yet.
Oh, we haven't had
Sancherev. No, we're going to talk about Sancherev in depth, but that hasn't come up yet. Yeah. It's Amar of Tanchum Darash Ba'Kafar B'Tzipuri. Zesei for Daniel Shenikra Al Shemai. When we got into Daniel, so we mentioned Amar of Tanchum Darsh Bakabar Tzipuri, and here we have another Amar of Tanchum Darsh Bakabar Tzipuri, which is Chizkiyahu and the Mem that he should have been Mashiach and Sancheru ben Gagul Magog. Now that seems to be totally off. Like, what does that have to do with anything? It's the same Mandamar. Now we know the Gemara will do that if it's the same Mandamar we're speaking, but I firmly believe that anytime that happens, there's a greater connection than just that. But that is at least the peripheral. The connection. So the Gemara mentions that,
And then once we mention Chizkiyahu, then there's a little bit of a discussion about Chizkiyahu, what his name was, Pelayoyetz, Kelgibor, Aviad, Sashalom, etc. And then the names of Sancherev, that he had eight names, etc. So we've now moved into Chizkiyahu and Sancherev. And what happened to the army of Sancherev, how they were destroyed, how it was Neshama Nisraf, Vagof Kayam, right? Sreifas Neshama, Vagof Kayam, etc. So this leads into a whole discussion about Chizkiyahu and Sancherev. So again, let's just get clear, let's not lose the thread over here. So we have that once we get to Yeshua Kohen Gadol, the Gemara then gets into the six descendants of Rus. So Rus and Boaz. Boaz was giving Rus the thing. So the Gemara gets into we'll put that off six of them here. So you have David, Daniel, I'm doing it chronologically, Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, and Mashiach. That's the Gemara's next discussion, and then focusing really on Daniel. And then the Gemara all of a sudden moves into Chizkiyahu and Sancherev. That's the first transition, which doesn't seem to make sense. It's just boom, just because it's the same amount of them are speaking. There doesn't seem to be a connection between those items. But then we really get into Sancherev. We get into the Gemara has a whole discussion about Sancherev, about how big the army was, that he came to destroy the Asar HaShvatim, but he went too far, about the learning of Chizkiyahu, the Shemin of Chizkiyahu, though they were learning at night, that's what ultimately defeated Sancherev. And then the Gemara moves into how he came there, and it was Od Hayom Benoy Vlamoid. He got there right beforehand, right on Erev Pesach, and it was Nishtayer from the Avoyna Shal Noiv, and he would have been able to destroy Yerushalayim, but he couldn't in the end because he didn't attack till Pesach night. So it really gets into Sancherev, a real discussion on Sancherev, and I wanna put parenthetically that in the Chizkiyahu Sancherev discussion. So, I don't know if we should put it parenthetically or as a new part of it, but this is really the transition. The Gemara then mentions Oid Hayom Benoy Vlamoid. Avoyna Shal Noiv. I'm going to put it parenthetically with Chizkiyahu and Sancherev. I'll put down Avoyna Shal Noiv. Because the next Gemara's discussion is David HaMelech with Yishbi Benoiv and hold on 1 second. Just something. Hold on. The Gemara gets into David HaMelech. That's interesting. His name is Yishbi B'Noiv. Did you notice that? It's the first time I noticed that. Because it's the Noiv Irakayanim that it's coming for. I didn't even notice that before. Should have noticed that. Didn't notice that. That's his name, Yishbi B'Noiv. But Yishbi B'Noiv tries to kill David HaMelech. Why? Because Hashem says David HaMelech, you still have a little bit of that Aveira of Noivir HaKayinim in you. Do you want to be destroyed or do you want your children to be wiped out? He says, I'll be destroyed. So then Yishbi B'Noiv almost kills him, and in the end he is saved by Avishai Ben Tzruya, and Avishai Ben Tzruya, when coming to save David, kills Arpa, and in doing so saves David. But then of course now the punishment for it that was on David goes down to his descendants, which is the Maisa the Gemara then gets into later of Yehoyash, that all the kings are wiped out except for Yehoyash HaMelech, that he's hidden away by the Kohen Gadol, what's that? No. That's the one who was like, no, that's his retinue. No. But the Kohen Gadol who took care of him is Kol Asher Tzivahu. Oh boy, I can't believe I forgot. It's Zechariah's father. Zechariah the Kohen's father, the one who was killed in the bubbling of the blood. It was, we have to know this. Now, Asaiah is the one who killed everybody. What did he say? Asaiah is the one who killed everybody, and he was saved by. Okay, it will hit me later. It's a famous person. It'll hit me later. I just don't remember it now. Okay, those of you who are listening online, I'm sure you have already thought of it, but I can't remember it offhand. Okay, it's a famous person. I'll remember in a second. So wait. So before we get off, there's something I forgot to put down. That when we have done these six, I want to put down Boaz Rus parenthetically, because it was the remez that Boaz did for Rus. If his girl is Sancherev with Avayna Shalnaiv, which leads to the eighth thing, which is David HaMelech and Yishbi Benoiv and also Arpa. And you'll find it easily. Which since he then moved into his then it should go to his descendants. So that leads to Yehoyash, who was the only one left. And David HaMelech's children were killed out by Asaliah. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? So they all should have been killed out. Why was Yehoyash saved? The Gemara says, because also when Noiv was killed out, one Kohen got away. Achimelech ben Achituv got away. Ben Echel, Achimelech ben Achituv. No, I'm sorry. His son got away, Evyasar got away. So therefore, one person got away, and that is Yehoyash. So that all the people were killed out except for Yehoash. Okay, so that's a natural thing after that. Fine.
So then the Gemara comes back to Sancheirev, talking about the various this battle of Sancheirev. It's how big it was, how many how large the army was. Yeah, who is it? No, that's Yosheva. No, but who's the Kohen Gadol? Huh? No, it's Yehoyada, right? Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. Right. Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, thank you. Okay. So then it discusses the it say it over here that there are other, that also Avram Avinu, and also the future with Gogomago. Say that over here. Yeah, that this battle of Sancheirev will be the same. It's the same battle that was with Avraham and also with Gogomago, all the same. And the Gemara gets back into Sancheirev, and here you have that very strange Gemara about how Sancheirev eventually was killed with Kiviyachal Kadosh Baruch Hu shaving his head and all business, and he finds the board from the Teva of Nayach and he bows to it, all business over there. So that's very strange. But the Gemara gets back into Sancheirev and mentions Avraham Avinu again. Okay. Now, on Sadivav, which is where we are now, then the Gemara talks about how, and this is an interesting segue, the Gemara talks about how Nebuchadnezzar was zoiche that he should become he was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he was able to lead Bavel because he ran a few steps for the covet of the Ribbono Shel'olam. Because the king then wanted to put the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu last, and he ran to stop it. So therefore, it discusses that Nebuchadnezzar, because he was running because it was the covet of, because when it was for the covet of Chizkiyahu, but he put Chizkiyahu before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Nebuchadnezzar went to stop it. So he's mentioned here as a foot soldier, as a messenger boy. Who was zeichet to become the king because of this? So fine. which then gets into: did Nebuchadnezzar ever come to Yerushalayim? Gemara says no, and the Gemara moves into what happened with the blood of Zechariah Hanavi.
because that was also with, because that's what eventually Nebuchadnezzar eventually does the shore, the Beis HaMikdash, and Vuzradan comes and finds the blood of Zechariah Navi boiling, and he ends up killing hundreds of thousands of people to try to be mechaper for the blood of Zechariah Hanavi and Zechariah Kohen Gadol. Hakain, anyway, I don't know if he's Kohen Gadol. So let's put down these points now. So again, we're going from Yehoyash to back to Sancheirev, which then leads into Nebuchadnezzar. And of course we know Nebuchadnezzar was one of the few people who survived the battle with the destruction of Sancheirev's army. So you have Sancheirev and Nebuchadnezzar, which then goes to Nebuzradan, where's the Aleph go? Nebuzradan and Dam Zechariah. Okay. Now you understand the blood of Zechariah, he was killed by whom? By Yehoash. He had Zechariah killed. Because when they tried to make Yehoash into an Avodah Zarah, he, Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, tried to stop them. Okay, fine. And then, after that, the Gemara moves into, I believe, now we get into Mashiach. Is that correct? Yeah. Then it gets into Mashiach. For the next couple of blot, really all the way to the two dots on Sadiqes and Aleph, is a discussion about Yemais HaMashiach. That's really what goes on from there on in. It's all about Mashiach. But what it's going to be like before Mashiach comes, and various ideas, etc., you know, orders of things, what's going to be happened, Darsha David Ben David Ba. Right, that's all the discussion until Daf Tzadi Tes Amen Aleph at the two dots. Okay? So that's 12, we broke it down to 12 items. They all segue pretty nicely. Although, this last one, Mashiach, what's the connection between, I guess because it was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and then it moved into the rebuilding. Is that what it is? What's that? Huh? On Sarivam and Beis? Yeah. It was almost sudden. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Mishmi Alech Emas Asi Bar Nafli. He says, what are you calling Bar Nafli? So he says, yeah. He says, Bayomahu Akim Esukas David Anofelas. So it seems to be just because of the Churban Abayas, so now it gets into Mashiach. So now, here's what I want to show you a progression over here. So again, what are our points? Sarzav Mida Keneged Mida, which is really meant to be the backdrop for the entire discussion in Chelek, is Mida Keneged Mida. Tchias HaMesim Minayin, because that's the Mishnah, which leads to Mesim Shechi Yechezkel, which naturally leads to Chanan Mishal Azariah B'Kiv Shana'esh, because that's happened at the same time, which naturally leads to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, which is also Kiv Shana'esh, which then leads to, which is later, of course, which leads back to David, Daniel, Chanan Mishal Azariah, Mashiach, which is the children of Boaz and Rus, because that's tied with Chanan Mishal Azariah, which goes to Chizkiyahu Sancheirev. There is no real connection over here, other than it's the same Manda Amar, with the Avon of Naiv, David and Yishbi ben Naiv, which is also the Avon of Naiv, Yehoyash, who was saved, and Yehoyah Kohen Gadol, Sancheirev and Nebuchadnezzar, there was no real connection there either, was there, for Sancheirev and Nebuchadnezzar? Was there a connection over there, going from Yehoyah Kohen Gadol and Yehoyash to Sancheirev? No, it was just going back to the previous discussion. And then, of course, the Vuzradan, the blood of Zechariah, Hakain, and the Mashiach. Okay, so follow this down a little bit.
really need more room over here. We're going to try to fit in what we can over here. You can follow the string of what is going on in this very large picture, starting with Rus and Boaz, and moving all the way down to Mashiach. You can follow it all the way down. And you can do it in a couple of different ways. And I'm going to give you two different threads to follow along over here, which involve either all of these Maasim or most of these Maasim. So let's start with let's take the positive. Rus and Boaz. So Boaz is meramis to Rus that she's going to have these children. We pointed out that these represent the beginning of Malchus Beis David, the interim period of Churban Habayis, where you have Daniel Chanan Mishael Azariah, who should have been the Zerah HaMalucha, but now they are in Golas, and now they're Suisim Beheichal Melech Bavel, and then of course Mashiach, who is the resurgence of Malchus Beis David. So, fine. So you have Boaz and Rus. Now, of course, David HaMelech becomes king. He is the realization of Malchus, which now comes to the fore. In the very inception of David HaMelech, as he is emerging as king, you have the terrible event of Noiv Ir HaKayinim. That's what you have. And during the event of Noiv Ir HaKayinim, which David is very, very tangentially responsible for, but he is. So as a result, Dayag HaDayimi, who did it, he loses Chelek HaLam Haba. Shaul HaMelech, who was more responsible, so he gets killed because of it, and his three sons. David HaMelech, there is a gzeira on him that either he should be killed or his descendants should be killed. And so you have the Maisa with Yishbi Benoiv, where David says, let it be on me. And we talked about how their Arpa is killed. That is the end of the Arpa influence, which is Dayag HaDaimi, is the same influence as Arpa. That's where it comes from. Dayag is the one who says, Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, because Arpa is the example of Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, as opposed to Rus, who's the example of Mayavi Valoy Mayavis. We talked about that already. And, fine. So, that doesn't quite do it. In that David is spared, so then his descendants have to be killed. When his descendants are killed, Yehoyash is saved. Now, let's follow this with Noiv Ir HaKayinim. Let's take it from that direction. Okay? Listen how it goes very carefully. You have David, you have Boaz and Rus. With Boaz and Rus, you have a debate in Klal Yisrael, Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, Mayavi Veloy Mayavis. This is a debate between Boaz and others. And we know that that's why the Goyal didn't want to be Goyal, Toiv Pone Amoni, he didn't want to marry Rus for that reason. But Boaz is the Avezdin, and he paskins Mayavi Veloy Mayavis. This still remains a debate in Klal Yisrael, and Doyeg HaDoimi, when he becomes the Avezdin, paskins Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis. And therefore, David HaMelech is not a mamzer, he's a puzzle. He's a puzzle. He's a pugum. He shouldn't be in Klal Yisrael. In the end, of course, we come out of Tzalach HaLamashu Sina from Shmuel HaRamasi back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mayavi V'loi Mayavis. But the idea, the conceptually, what are they arguing about? So we had a shir about this. What is this debate of Mayavi V'loi Mayavis, Mayavi V'loi Mayavis? That's the machlaikis, if you will, between Rus and Arpa. That machlok is manifest between Doeg and David. The result of this debate is Noiv Ir HaKayinim. Because Doeg holds Mayavi Veloi Vafilu Mayavis, Mamela David HaMelech doesn't have a right to be king. Mamela he's a married B'malchus, because it's either or. There's no middle ground over here. Either David HaMelech deserves to be king, or he's a married B'malchus against Shaul HaMelech. If it's Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, then David HaMelech is a married B'malchus. So that means that Noiv Ir HaKayinim is in our married Din Mamalchus. So he kills all of Noiv Ir HaKayinim. He, of course, is wrong. He loses Chelek HaLam Haba. David HaMelech is partially responsible in a very, very minor way, but he's responsible. So as a result, this is crucial. So Noiv Ir HaKayinim is the continuation of Doeg HaDaimi,
of Arpa, of Mayaviva Filu Mayavis, that hasn't been eradicated from plaguing David HaMelech, Malchus Beis David. From the very inception of Malchus Beis David, which will start with Rus and Boaz, there is an aspect of a question of Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis. You can probably trace this back to Light and his daughters as well. But there's a question of Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis or not. Doeg is finally killed. Arpa is finally killed. Yishbi Benoiv is killed. But nevertheless, the fact is they're all gone, but now Noivir HaKayanim becomes the realization of this problem. I'm looking at it like this, and the way I'm envisioning it in my mind's eye is there is this thorn in the side of Malchus Beis David. There is something that is out to undermine Malchus Beis David. It is Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis, it is Doeg HaDoimi, it's Arpa, they're gone, but now that becomes manifest in Noivir HaKayanim, because that's still there. Noivir HaKayanim is why David HaMelech is supposed to be killed, and for not him, his descendants. They are killed, but not Yehoyash. So that seems to have been a kapara. Fine, all of the kids were killed, except for Yehoyash. So if Yehoyash was spared, fine. We've gotten rid of Noivir HaKayanim. We've gotten rid of Doeg HaDoimi. We've gotten rid of Arpa. We've gotten rid of Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis. That aspect of the challenge to Malchus Beis David is gone. How is Yehoyash saved? He's saved by Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. He's hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. After Yehoyada Kohen Gadol dies, because of the fact that Yehoyash was saved in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Dafka, for that reason, they make him into an Avodah Zarah. Dafka, for that reason, Zechariah HaNavi comes to give, Zechariah HaKain comes to give Musar. Dafka, for that reason, Yehoyash has him killed. That Avera is still there. Perhaps Noivir HaKayanim was Neskapra for, but the Avera of Noivir HaKayanim led to a different Avera of the killing, the murdering of Zechariah, HaKayan, and Navi in the Beis HaMikdash. And his blood boils for a couple of hundred years. Until comes Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar is not in a vacuum. Way back before Nebuchadnezzar, you have the Maisa of Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Sancheirev, which is after Yehoyash. The blood of Zechariah Navi is boiling over there. So comes the Navi and tells us, Od Hayom Benoy Vlamot, Sancheirev shows up on Erev Pesach. And that would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because of what? The Avera of Noiv. What do you mean the Avera of Noiv? David HaMelech was already Machaper for the Avera of Noiv. Because his kids were killed out. Then already was Machaper for Noiv. But the answer is, yes, it was Machaper, but then it became reinvented. It reemerged with the killing of Zechariah. So there still is a connection to that whole line of challenge to Malchus Beis David. Now it's in the blood of Zechariah. There still is Noivir HaKayanim. Had Sancheirev attacked in Erev Pesach, he would have won. But he didn't. He attacked on Pesach. Why did he attack on Pesach? Because of Chizkiyahu, the tzidkus of Chizkiyahu. So therefore, they were able to defeat Sancheirev. He was destroyed, utterly destroyed, in a magnificent way. And now, he could have been Mashiach. If he would have been Mashiach, then that would have been the end of the challenge to Malchus Beis David. He doesn't say Shira. And therefore, it's not there yet. The challenge to Malchus Beis David remains. Zechariah's blood still boils. Nebuchadnezzar, who was there as a foot soldier in the army of Sancheirev, where hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of soldiers were killed, he's one of the few to live. Why is he one of the few to live? He then ends up being the one to later lead Bavel to come destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Taka, he's the one to do it. And Nebuzradon, his general, comes and he says, I'm going to be mechaper for the Dam of Zechariah. What Dam of Zechariah? The one that comes from Yehoyash, the one that comes from Noivir HaKayanim. It's still there. It's still boiling. That Avera is still there. And in the end, the Beis HaMikdash is finally destroyed because of this Avera. And Memela, it turns out that the descendants of David HaMelech, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, end up as Srisim beHechal Melech Bavel. Eventually, Mashiach will come. When he comes, then that will be the final removal of this challenge to Malchus Beis David. But the challenge endures. You, as we're going along in Chelak, you constantly have this, it's almost gone. It's like a little bit left. Oh, it's almost gone. But then it's still there. It comes back. It's not fully eradicated. It's still bubbling. It's still going throughout the generations. This constant line of Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis, Noivir Akayanim, the blood of Zechariah Navi. It's all one direct line of challenge to Malchus Beis David. We discussed what it means, Mayaviv Afilu Mayavis, when that's not for tonight, but you realize that Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash are linked inextricably. Malchus Beis David, for despite the fact that Malchus Beis David and the line of Kahuna are forever separated, we've talked about that as well, that the last time they were together was under the person of Shem, Ben Noach, but once you get to Klal Yisrael, it's two distinct lines, the line of Yehuda and the line of Aaron HaKohen, and they're separate and distinct, but they're inextricably linked. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash means the destruction of Malchus Beis David. When the king is crowned, one of the first things he has to do is build the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is not built by Kehanim. The Beis HaMikdash is built by the Malchus. Either David, if it's not David, then Shlomo. But it's the Malchus that builds the Beis HaMikdash. The two are linked. Bizman Azeh, we lack the Keser Malchus, and we lack the Keser Kahuna. We have the Keser Torah. Of the three Ksarim, the one that never gets taken away from us is Keser Torah. But Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus, we don't have. Now, do we have? Of course, we have Kehanim, and we know that the line of Malchus Beis David exists. But we don't have them the way they're supposed to be. We don't have a Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Melech. They are tied together. When the challenge to Malchus Beis David is manifest in the city of Kehanim, even before David assumes the throne, the city of Kehanim is killed out indirectly because of him. For the perfection of Malchus Beis David, there also has to be a perfection of Kahuna. The two come together. They are inseparable in the Shlemus of Klal Yisrael. And the challenge to Malchus Beis David is manifest in destruction of Kehanim. First Noivir HaKohanim, and then Zechariah HaKohen in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not by accident. It's Zechariah who is a Kohen and a Navi who is killed where? In the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where his blood boils. And that's where Nebuzaradan comes and takes and extracts Kapara from Klal Yisrael. This is all intertwined together. So that when you have a discussion of Chelek, someone who denies Tchias HaMesim is Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, and Olam Haba and Mashiach are tied together. We don't know exactly the sequence of events. Mirz Hashem will find out very soon, but we don't know. But when the goal of the first nine blot of Chelek is to take us from Tchias HaMesim to Mashiach, that's what we're out to do over here. The Gemara is discussing all of the major events that lead up to, that have to do with the way that history has flowed from the time of Rus and Arpa and Boaz down to Mashiach. The Yechezkel is not by accident that Tchias HaMesim is first seen by Yechezkel. Over there, with the mice of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, in the Kibshan HaEsh, where Nebuchadnezzar says, I see a fourth person. Who's the fourth person? It's Gavriel HaMalach, which he remembers from when he saw him by the destruction of Sennacherib's army. It's all tied together. It's all tied together in that. That even as you're dealing with Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel, who are in the lowest part of Malchus Beis David, you still have the Maisa of the Kibshana Eish, which shows they're godless. Same thing with Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who comes at the end of the Golos. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is later. It's no mistake that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are from Malchus Beis David, according to at least one man, the Omer, and Yehoshua is the Kohen Gadol. Both get thrown into a Kibshana Eish, both come out alive. The same nace happens to either to both of them. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who represents Kahuna, Hanami Shalaziah, who represents Malchus. Both have the same experience in Golus, at the lowest point, when we've lost Malchus and we've lost Kahuna, they still get thrown into Kibshan Aish, they still come out alive. They will never be destroyed. They will always come out. There will always be a line of Kahuna that is roi to assume the Kahuna Gedolah of the Beis HaMikdash. There will always be a line of Malchus Beis Tava that is roi to assume the Malchus in Yerushalayim. Those are the two things that have to still happen for Shlemus to occur. Keser Torah, that's not the main discussion in the Nine Blot of Sanhedrin, even though it is the Torah of Chizkiyahu that defeats Sanherev. Perhaps that's telling us that in order to be Zeichet to Kahuna and Malchus, the Keser Torah has to rise above everything. The Keser Torah has to earn us the ability to defeat our enemies so that Kahuna and Malchus can emerge. Perhaps that's the way to understand it. But to me, it's fascinating looking at the negative, especially looking at the line of how the negativity goes. Again, from Mayavi, from Arpa, Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, Doyeg ha'adoimi, noivir ha'kayanim, then Yehoyash and the death, the murder of Zechariah, or Sancher, and then Sancherev, and then down to Nevuzradan, followed by Hanami Shabazai and Kivshan Aish, but that was really before Nevuzradan, and then also Yahshua Kohen Gadol, and then finally down to Mashiach. To me, it's all one incredible storyline from top to bottom. That is what I have pieced together in the first nine blot of Sanhedrin. I'm open to any other additions or ideas. To me, what remains to be seen, and a lot of you who have already gone further, is whether this theme will continue with the rest of Chelak as we go through the rest of the Mishnah, moving on to the next part, which is Ha'imer Ein Tar Min Hashamayim, and moving on from there. I told you it was a fun share.
Mm-hmm. Well, it almost sounds like from the way you stated it that the Moaviva Filo Moavis was a sin in itself.
Yeah, that's not a sin.
There was something wrong with it.
That's not a sin. It's a hashkafa. It's a philosophy that Moav, the way I presented it when we learned about it, mm-hmm. is that Moav, that Doeg wasn't crazy. Most of the women of Moav do not belong in Klal Yisrael. There are a few exceptions, very few. He's right. If you analyze Arpa, he's right. They don't belong in Klal Yisrael. But we have the exception of Rus and Nama Aminus that belong in Klal Yisrael. And so it's not crazy. And this conceptual machlaikas of whether they do or don't belong is ultimately the challenge to Malchus Beis Tavid. Malchus Beis Tavid constantly has to prove itself that yes, Rus does belong in Klal Yisrael.
They also give out the Gerei Tzedek that comes in after Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, that's one line, and that's really one, just one, right? What do you want to do with that? That's how about a Naman Gerei Taisha Avaya, etc. Yeah, what do you want to do with that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. that's there because of Nevuzradan. Because he became a ger.
Right.
Yeah.
And is that...
And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was bikesh to Nevuchadnezzar, the Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, and they stopped him.
Do you see a tie to... the sugya then goes into Mashiach.
Right.
So...
Right. I don't know. You see a few places where Nebuchadnezzar is denied godless, real godless. Mm-hmm. Right? We find it really three places. B'malach v'tipchoy al-piv, B'malach v'hamidoy, and then over here, not to allow his children to become gerim.
Didn't really establish Malchus Beis David again by the second Beis Mishnah.
They didn't, right.
All we have is Mitzvah Chashmonaim, which is weird that it's actually Kahuna.
But that was their problem. That was the Tainan.
Yeah,
but they didn't have Malchus, but the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt by Ezra HaKayin and Nehemiah, who is Mizrah Malucha.
Right.
He's the descendant of Malchus.
I think the Rambam says that he says like they restored Malchus to Israel for
So I'm saying there, it is built. It is built by the team of Ezra Nehemiah, which is one sefer. Ezra representing Kahuna, Nehemiah representing Malchus. Even though it wasn't true Malchus then, but he was. If there would have been true Malchus, he would have been the Melech.
Was the Reish Kalusa any?
Well, yeah, there is. I don't know. I mean, the Gemara says that there was that was from Zerav Dovin HaMelech. So, okay, very good. So next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue into the next phase. Over here.